Hey, this is Kenyon Drake. You're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Andy, Mike, and Jason back with you. So much happening in the wide world of fantasy football. We welcome you in.
The free agents have sure been taking their time this year.
I think they took their time, but I feel like now this show, we have so much to talk about. And you know, this is our third show on free agency, but who's left after this?
I mean, there's still a few.
T.Y. Hilton.
Exactly.
I think that counts. I mean, T.Y. Hilton, that's interesting wherever he lands.
But the big ones have happened, right? James Conner's still out there, Mike, but come on.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette's out there.
Come on, someone. My dynasty team needs you to sign.
I think the kind of young, exciting potential landing spots have found. You know, those players have found new homes.
Yeah, I suppose after the Curtis Samuel one, it was kind of wrapped up.
I think I'm a little, overall, I hate to say this, but I think I'm a little let down by this free agency.
So here's, I echo you. I was just about to say that this free agent landing spot week sucked.
All right, different adjectives.
I think that for almost not everybody, there were a couple people that got a healthy upgrade. Their situation got better, but I would say most players out here, I think it was a negative move for 85% of all the free agents. That's how I view it this year.
And it got started with you know, Jonnu and Hunter Henry going to the same team that we were kind of like meh.
Yeah, they phased each other out.
Yeah.
How can we turn two into zero? None?
Yeah. And there were some other situations like that. Like some of the landing spots made they were interesting at best for the player that signed, and then they also eliminated fantasy value from the other players there.
Right.
But we'll talk about that and maybe we'll disagree. A lot of players this offseason went back to their teams too.
Mm-hmm.
So lots to discuss. For those of you who want to get connected to the show, you can follow and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can check out our community at jointhefoot.com, and you can pre-order the Ultimate Draft Kit at ultimatedraftkit.com and check out the UDK Plus.
Yes, the Dynasty Pass part of the Ultimate Draft Kit. It will be receiving its first update in about a week or so. Unfortunately, because of the no combine, you couldn't have we get everyone's athletic testing, you know, have movers and shakers. That process is extended across March. We are recording this Monday afternoon, but I believe Alabama is tomorrow, so that's interesting. Then you have a couple days. Florida is in a few days with Kyle Pitts, which there's the Twitter sphere is getting very hot and bothered by an alleged.
Getting some sweaty pits.
An alleged, was it 446?
Yeah.
I think that's what they're talking about for
is it all alleged on pro days this year? Like when you're not at one single combine to compare against everybody else there, do you believe that these numbers, the 40 times, the bench press, the verticals, are they going to be devalued in the, at least the public's mind?
The 40 time is the only one. Like the bench press is, how many times can you push those weights? There's no way
zero.
To like.
Oh, sorry.
There's no way to fabricate like. Oh, you got two more. You know, there's
maybe
there's cameras
you don't,
on
maybe
these.
You don't drop all the way to the chest, or you don't fully extend.
But with the 40 time, and we've seen this before.
Home bench press advantage. I've heard about that.
Usually, people have slower 40 times at the combine than they do at their pro day because the pro day stopwatches are a little bit friendlier.
Yeah, but it's true.
The NFL did say that things were supposed to be more stringent on pro days this year.
Well, that's good. And we have had articles hit the website all the time and very quickly with fantasy reaction to all of these moves. So we're going to talk about them on the show today, but then if you want to dig deeper on some of the analysis behind any of these moves, there are a lot of fantasy reaction articles on thefantasyfootballers.com. Here's your quick question for the day. Rank the Steelers wide receivers. This is another thing that happened. Juju re-signed, one-year deal, back to Pittsburgh. Wasn't expected, but the one-year, the fact that so many wide receivers were looking at one-year deals opened that door, and he took less money, and I'll give him credit for that.
A little bit.
Could have been a lot. It could have been up to $4 million with that Baltimore deal.
With the, oh, yeah.
With the incentives and stuff.
You're not hitting incentives with the Ravens?
No, you're not. Teeny pie. I
mean, yeah, that has to do with your actual production. But, yeah, allegedly he...
And the Chiefs came in hot at the end.
He received an offer that was slightly higher from the Kansas City Chiefs, which I don't know if you guys have a read of what's going on with Kansas City. But this is... We've now seen multiple reports of these free agent wide receivers, and not like huge names. I guess Juju's a pretty big name, but people turning down the Kansas City Chiefs, saying, I do not want to go play there.
Why?
Why are they? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why are they turning it down? Is it because they've seen it where, yeah, it's incredible to play with Patrick Mahomes if your name is Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, otherwise no one else really gets targets.
Well, Sammy Watkins is still a free agent right now, right? So, yeah. And it didn't work out for him to come in and play third fiddle or fourth fiddle, whatever the case may be. But let's rank the Steelers wide receivers for 2021. One-year deal for Juju. He comes back. Deontay Johnson is there. Chase Claypool is there. James Washington is still there. I will go first. I will simply put Deontay at one. I will go Juju two, Claypool three. I think it will be close between Deontay and Juju, but the big difference maker there is simply big playability. Last year, I believe the longest play from scrimmage for Juju was in the 30-yard range.
Oof.
And Deontay offers you more separation, better average rate of target and reception. So, and they're both, you know, Deontay missed, I think, two full games this year, one benching and one missed game, and was just behind Juju in total reception. So I look at that as a neck-and-neck situation. So I have Deontay one, more upside, and then Juju two. Claypool, unfortunately, it may be another – you got to wait another year.
Yeah, and you know, Mike and I were talking about this in the studio off-air. Claypool got off to such a hot start, but he was actually not that good as the season went along. And you know, we're diving into some deeper metrics and developing more accurate catch percentages for wide receivers and such. And I was really unhappy to see that Claypool was not that great. So I've got him in third place as well. And Andy, I know you wanted to go first since I had my answer in the doc first, but I agree with you. It's Deontay Johnson and then Juju. I don't see why it would change, right? Last year, on a points-per-game basis, it was Deontay Johnson, then Juju, then Claypool. You could make an argument that Claypool takes a step forward in year two. You're obviously hoping for that. But Big Ben likes throwing the ball really close.
Probably not going to get better arm strength going into the next season this age.
He could. He could be, now that he's another year removed from the surgery. And the reason why you can believe that they will start going down the field a little bit more is the new offensive coordinator, Matt the American Canada. So, like, they saw what the offense was last year, and they let old Randy's contract just expire. And they said, yep, don't come back. We don't need you here. They pulled in somebody new because their offense was atrocious last year. Now, can their offensive line hold up and give Big Ben enough time to throw it down the field to Chase Claypool? I'm not sure, but I would have it. Deontay is the easy number one for me, but then I would go Claypool, second year in the NFL, new offensive system, over the slot wide receiver.
Okay. Yeah, it was interesting seeing Juju come back. One more go around with Big Ben.
That was a man we have a tail tucked situation here.
This is how I would look. If I'm not saying Juju did this, but if I had to come back to the team and take the deal, I would sure spin it into the most loyalty centered
yes. Oh, yeah.
Thing
and he did.
Possible.
Now, who reached out to? Did he reach out to Kansas City? Is it because that'd be like, you know, hey, give me an offer so that I can just go back to the Steelers and be like, dude, I could have played with Pat. I wanted to be here.
His metrics year to year have just gone down and down in terms of the kinds of metrics that get you signed to long Kenny Golladay type of deals. So that being said, was this his best chance at a long-term deal? Probably.
We saw it in free agency this year. Wide receivers, other than one, really two. I'll include Nelson Agholor in here. Wide receivers really did not get paid the way that they wanted to get paid this season because of the lowering cap situation. So all these wide receivers are betting on themselves, these one-year deals.
Yeah. Free agent winners and losers. Number one winner, Nelson Aguilar's agent.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What a great job he did. Yeah. I think the Patriots came out and they were asked about their big spending, and they just said they're just not in the business of losing. But yeah, discretion. Use your money with some...
Sometimes you try and be first to market and get out in front of everybody and set the bar.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're first and you set the bar higher than anybody else is willing to go.
And we've got Al Borland, Judge Giamatti in the house. Judge, when is our winners and losers episode? Like the official, we'll go through everybody and declare winners and losers.
Like 1 week from today.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into the free agent news.
Free agent frenzy.
So I'm watching that graphic go across the screen. For those of you watching on YouTube, there were three players on the free agent frenzy graphic. Mm-hmm. It was Kenny Golladay,
Ken YG.
Kenyon Drake, and Juju, and all three signed between the last show and today. So, I don't know, just an observation.
Thank you. That's all it was.
Well,
thank you for
Did you want us to update it again?
No. I just thought it was interesting that all three, like Jason said, most of the big moves happened.
I thought you were hoping for, like, James Conner, Todd Gurley, and someone else.
No, and here's the funny thing. All right, let's start with this news, because on the last episode, I threw out there, I said, well, Allen Robinson's not going to sign his franchise tender anytime soon, right? We're like, yeah, no, he's not. Well, he signed it, like, that day.
Yeah. You want to know why? Because he thought prior to the free agency opening that he could get $20 million a year on the open market. And then he saw what wide receivers were getting and said, I do not want them to rescind this
deal.
He
said, no takesy-backsies.
$18 million sounds good for a one-year deal. Then I'll go be a free agent when the cap goes up.
Yeah. It's actually, he's in the best position of anybody. Get paid $18 million this year. Cap goes up. TV deal's done. And go make money next year. He's a great player. We talked about Juju re-signing. Let's go to the biggest story of the free agent time period.
So yeah. Smooth.
Yeah.
The Giants have signed... Mm.
Sorry.
Kenny Golladay. Oh,
there it is.
4 years, $72 million. $40 million guaranteed. Taking his smooth routes to New York City.
Oh, very nice.
He led the NFL in 20-plus yard targets in 2019, the last big time season he was out there on the field. This is our, I think, most exciting debate topic, is whether we actually believe Kenny Golladay to the Giants can bear fruit for fantasy football players. Daniel Jones, there are metrics that bend him towards... Hey, this could be a promising situation for Kenny G, third best PFF grade and highest passer rating on 20-plus yard throws.
Kenny G led the NFL in 20-plus yard targets in 2019. A match made in heaven.
Kenny Golladay is a big-bodied contested catch guru. He's not a separator, metric-wise. He doesn't get a lot of separation.
He's gotten better, but yeah. That's not his game.
Not his game. Daniel Jones, we don't know what his game is going to be. This feels a whole lot like the last Mitch Trubisky season in Chicago, in the sense that a declaration on his future will be made this year, in my opinion. Daniel Jones' success or failure this season will determine his longevity, dynasty value, potential to be a starter, or does he go the way of Trubisky and go back somebody else up?
Yeah, I agree completely. I think that that's what the Giants are seeing as well. But what they have done here is they have given Daniel Jones the ability to succeed by having a true number one wide receiver. It's not like what happened with Sam Darnold, where it's like, we need you to step it up, but you don't get, you get Breshad Perriman. That's right. So congratulations. This is a situation where I think Daniel Jones, I mean, look at the weapons that the New York Giants offense has around Daniel Jones now with, we'll start at the bottom, Evan Ingram.
Stop it.
You've still got, I think, a very good wide receiver in Sterling Shepard. Things will open up for him. Kenny Golladay, superstar John Ross, and of course Saquon Barkley's coming back. So you have a really, really nice wide receiver crew for Daniel
even,
Jones.
You would even list the person who's playing over John Ross.
Oh, nobody's playing over John Ross.
You're talking about Darius Slayton?
Yes.
Yeah, this news, the Kenny G signing was devastating for Darius Slayton's dynasty value. It's a very, very bad look. He's not betting on Daniel Jones to supply multiple valuable pass catching options is a bad bet. He hasn't given us reason to believe otherwise. Kenny Golladay, however, not a volume receiver. This wasn't picking up Allen Robinson in free agency. Kenny Golladay is a put him down for 70. Put him down for 75 maybe under this contract.
75 would be nice.
I don't think he's getting more than that. So I think we see potential because we've seen potential from Daniel Jones, Darius Slayton at times in the past, even Evan Ingram, big games, big moments. But you have Matthew Stafford, who's a much better quarterback than Daniel Jones is.
Sure.
And you're downgrading quarterback, unequivocally.
Yes.
You are also in a position where, you know, this team I still think is going to be predicated on the return of Saquon Barkley and his involvement in the running game, being able to succeed. Do I think that they're a better team this year than last year? When you acquire Golladay and Barkley in the offseason, which is basically what they did, mm-hmm. you have to get better on offense.
Yeah, I mean, I see this as a downgrade for Kenny Golladay. When I'm looking at how many targets there are there, how many weapons to catch targets, you're looking at a guy who's probably going to be sub 70 receptions. Which can be fine, right? 2 years ago, he only had 65 receptions when he was the wide receiver 6. But then you just talk about, is it going to get better going from Matthew Stafford to Daniel Jones? I don't think so. So, I think Kenny Golladay will probably be around outside of my top 15 wide receivers this next year. Still an elite talent. But on the flip side, I think this is really Daniel Jones should be a good fantasy option because he still runs the ball.
I was going to ask you where Daniel Jones ended up 8th at quarterback rushes and where did he go? Number 7 in quarterback rushing yards last year. We saw that we've seen over the last couple of years, he's willing to run. And he's willing to trip. But
he needs to because he's only averaging, like last year, he was 210 yards a game passing. 14 games started under 3,000 yards passing.
But again, the chicken or egg, I mean, the Carson Wentz debate, like who was he supposed to throw to? You know, like
Golden. Well, now he's got Kyle Rudolph, Mike.
Well, Kyle.
Do we want to mention that? Rudolph joining the squad.
Kyle Rudolph is a legit signing for this team because he's going to be blocking. Evan Ingram will be the one out there as the move tight end, and their offensive line needs help.
All right, rubber meets the road. Is Kenny Golladay a top 15 wide receiver in fantasy? That's been the bar for Godwin and Robinson in recent debates. I am going to say no. I do not think he's a top 15.
Yeah, I already answered that. I agree.
15, man. That's a great bar. I would say no right now. Rankings are not done, obviously, but just because so it's like that gut check. But I can't imagine he'll be in the top 15.
All right, well, let's talk about another wide receiver that finally found a home. Oh, a one-year contract. The Dolphins signed Will Fuller.
Cool.
The 5th.
Oh.
Formerly of the Texans, one-year deal with Tua.
How is he at slants?
Will Fuller?
Yeah.
He's very fast, so, I mean, assuming he gets hit in stride, he could do very well.
So, you guys have played fantasy football?
Yep. I've dabbled.
Dabbled. Are you aware of a phenomenon that takes place when you have a player on your team, on your dynasty team,
mm-hmm.
and something like, I don't know, they sign with the Dolphins. And what you do is you try to maybe find the silver lining.
Okay.
of the situation. Because on the surface, maybe the situation looks like it's a bunch of slants and not the best situation. Maybe on the surface, it looks like 10% of Tua's passes were 20 yards downfield. I went and watched a lot of film
of Tua,
of Tua throwing the ball deep, like his deep route. He had some nice deep balls that were dropping out of the hands of Jakeem Grant or others that shall remain nameless. Is there a world where, look, Will Fuller, much like Kenny Golladay, he's not going to live on 100 reception seasons. Do you think that there's some potential here in Miami?
No, I mean, he could. Will Fuller is the dude.
Make the case
Miami.
And then trade for Will Fuller. Go.
I would rather trade and then make the case. The case is simply volume. He will be the number one guy down there without a shadow of a doubt. Shadow of a doubt. Parker.
Yeah, so you look at that. That's interesting.
I think Fuller is the number one.
Jason, do you have that exact same interpretation of the move?
I do think will be the number
that's
one
great.
Here because the way that Parker was used with Tua, it didn't fit Tua. Parker fit Fitzpatrick, but they needed someone that could have a little bit more separation. And like you said, Mike, Tua wants to hit a guy in stride. He's good at leading a receiver. So I think Will Fuller will be the number one here. It's just a matter of, obviously, he hasn't played a full season ever.
And he won't this year. He will miss week one.
That's right. He is suspended.
Incredibly, Ryan Fitzpatrick's percentage of throws 20-plus yards downfield was lower than Tua's. That will shock the world.
It is.
Both of them were horribly low. So the offense was maybe more to blame. I for one, this is not Will Fuller bias because I'm not that excited about him in Miami in terms of being able. I don't think he'll go very high in drafts. I think the question marks are all over the place. But I am not one of those people that thinks Tua can't improve. Like there are those out there that really, really hate Tua. He is on a great team that is putting him in a great position. He didn't have a lot of weapons. They might draft a really significant running back. They're one of the few teams that's like, it's sitting right there for them. Mm-hmm. I think Tua has much more potential than we saw.
I hope I am wrong because I am one of those that you have described. I don't believe Tua will be a great quarterback. And maybe that's not fair, but I will. It's a prove-it situation to me. Obviously, getting Will Fuller with Devontae Parker, and if they get a good running back, he'll have the opportunity to prove it this year. I just don't think it'll happen.
All right, many more free agent topics to discuss. Before we do that, it is time to thank today's sponsors. Guys, 2021, it's looking up. It's looking really up for Kenny G. He found a new job in New York. New beginnings means new opportunities to grow your business. And if part of your strategy is adding new members to your team, I want to tell you about LinkedIn Jobs. Find the right person quickly. This ties in so perfectly with free agency. And to make things better, your first job post is free. There are more than, I can't even believe this number, 722 million members of LinkedIn worldwide.
What?
It does seem like the best place to find people would be the largest site.
Be where all the people are.
Yes.
I want to be.
Getting started is easier than ever with new features to help you find qualified candidates very quickly. I think my favorite feature is the fact that, look, you get to do all of this, post your job posting, review candidates, and have it all streamlined, and you can do it on your mobile device no matter where you are. It can help you find the right person much, much faster. And like I said, a lot of businesses expanding, growing. When your business is ready to make the next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. And now you can post a job for free. Visit LinkedIn.com/footballers. Again, that's LinkedIn.com/footballers to post a job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And Foot Clan, did you know that more than 50 million men in the U.S. suffer from male pattern baldness?
I've heard.
I do. I know it because I'm one of the two-thirds of men who experience that by age 35. And there are only two FDA-approved medications that can help prevent hair loss. And Keeps offers both of them. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. It's a convenient virtual doctor consultation. Medications delivered right straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. It's a very low cost as well. Treatments start at just $10 a month, and Keeps offers generic versions. There's discreet packaging. You don't have to worry about it. They've got more five-star reviews than any of its competitors, and prevention is the key. This isn't about like this is about stop losing your hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want to take
right
care
now.
Of it fast. It could take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act now. And if you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/footballers to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's Keeps, KEEPS.com/footballers to get your first month free. Keeps.com/footballers.
All right. Washington signed a new wide receiver / running back / weapon / Percy Harvin. Curtis Samuel, formerly of the Panthers, 3 years, $34 million, 34 and a half.
Yeah.
Don't want to take that away from him.
Respect the money.
Yeah. You know Brooks does. We talked about him on the Footcast because that deal had happened when we recorded our bonus episode of the show this past week.
Bonus.
Reunited with Ron Rivera. Apparently they tried to trade for him before the season last year when Ron Rivera arrived in Washington. And
he loves Curtis Samuel.
They were unsuccessful, and now they get him for free. So, not for free.
3 year, $34.5 million.
Didn't have to give anything up other than the money. What do we think about this signing? This is the place that I thought Curtis Samuel would sign. I think maybe, Mike, you agreed on our free agent prediction show.
I like it. It's a good spot. It's very, very interesting because which use of Curtis Samuel do we actually see in Washington? Because last year with Matt Ja Rule, you know, he was kind of all over the place. He was used way different than he was when Ron Rivera was there. When Ron Rivera was there, Curtis Samuel was the deep threat. Curtis Samuel was running nine routes all the time. And I don't know if you guys remember the couple years ago when the Cam Newton's last year, when he was hurt the whole time, so it was like Kyle Allen, and you would just see Curtis Samuel doing his thing, wide open, and he just was getting, and every week it was the air yards, they're going to pay off for Curtis Samuel, and they just never did. Well, now you got Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, if they go back to that formula of the Ron Rivera usage of Curtis Samuel, that's very interesting that you have him. You got Terry McLaurin on the other side, so you can't just completely try and remove Curtis Samuel from the game. I think this is a great signing. Washington is going to be incredibly fun for
football.
Will
we get a team name at some point?
Yeah.
What is that? How many years do we need for a team name?
2022. I believe that's when they're targeting right now for a team name. It's going to take
I think
them
it can be
long.
Done faster than two whole years.
Yeah, it can. It for sure can, but not for Washington.
Here's
what animal would you go with?
Oh, if you're going animal for Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, a hog.
The hogs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's their name.
The fans,
it's their nickname.
The fans do that thing. Okay.
Would you put tusks on this hog? Is this like
a javelina situation?
You could put some tusks on him. I don't care. Mix it up.
Do you have a...
Do I have
an animal?
An animal?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You can go alliteration. You can find a W animal.
Warthog.
The Washington... Oh, that's kind of like a hog.
I thought you were going to go wildebeest.
Nailed it. Warthog indeed.
Okay.
The wildebeest.
Because I was thinking boar, but that's basically a boar.
Yeah. What's
with you and boars? You have a lot of boar-related conversations.
Look.
Spears and boars.
King of the jungle, you know?
Wait, we have some dreams here. King of the jungle.
Pumbaa.
I don't personally draw too much from his first usage with Ron Rivera in Carolina. What happens when a wide receiver comes on a team and you put him in a position to use his speed, be a downfield threat? I think he's a weapon. I think they're going to use him innovatively. I think they're going to use him in the ways that they use like Cam Sims and some of these other weapons in this Washington offense where it's like, look, we're going to manufacture touches for a weapon.
Hopefully they do.
So in that regard, I think it does, it lowers the kind of bell cow ability of Antonio Gibson in the sense that your entire offense isn't Antonio Gibson. It's McLaurin, it's Gibson, it's Samuel.
Maybe, but...
It's not to take away from Gibson.
Yeah,
it's just
opportunities, but as what my champion Antonio Gibson needs. He needs more scoring opportunities. I know he came through with
Didn't he overperform in that department?
Yes, he came through with an absolute boatload of touchdowns that it felt like he shouldn't be scoring that much. So if we can improve this offense, make it more high powered, I think that's great news for Gibson.
When I look at this signing for Curtis Samuel, I think it's a pretty sideways move for him. We talk up Ryan Fitzpatrick as this just fun, awesome quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. This isn't going to some situation that's awesome. It's just much better than Alex Smith. So the way that I look at it is this is sideways for him. I also don't think it impacts negatively Terry McLaurin. This is a really nice signing for Terry to stay the one on the team, have the majority of targets, but have coverage open up a little bit. Where I love this signing, and I love it for this reason, is DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. Getting Curtis Samuel out and officially having him move on is phenomenal, because we've talked about it before many times. You want those two target options, and that's where fantasy gold comes from. And
you're not worried about Dan Arnold coming in there and threatening those two guys?
Oh, the postman.
No, I'm not worried about them. There's no mail delivered on Sunday. They'll be fine.
Here's an interesting stat to bring to mind with the same. And I agree. Sideways on Samuel's value. Good for the team.
Oh, yeah.
Smooches himself, J.D. McKissick.
He was waiting.
195 opportunities last year.
Yeah, and he'll still get opportunities.
That's a lot.
He will not get hardly any opportunities. The biggest difference for Ryan Fitzpatrick, listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to be – Alex Smith had games where he was – didn't he have like 15 target games?
That's
not going to happen, because Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't have to do that. He'll utilize the running back. But I think J.D. McKissick was a creation based on the fact that you had no other options.
Well, that's why they went out and intentionally signed him in the offseason by this coaching staff.
He's still a fine player, but I'm saying for fantasy usage and being able to play him, I don't think it's going to be anything like what we saw last season.
All right, the player that I predicted mostly to scare Mike going to this backfield.
Yeah.
Which did not happen.
No, it did not, and it got your guy, so eat that.
The Raiders signed running back Kenyon Drake, 2-year, $11 million contract, left the fantasy football world kind of shaking their head, and ew!
What are you
gross.
Doing? What are you doing,
man? Josh Jacobs is in trouble. Kenyon Drake is useless. This is what I meant by the offseason. Yeah. Another one of these moves. You don't even go to a place where we can just like even prognosticate good things for you, Kenyon Drake. You go to a place to destroy another person. Josh Jacobs is not he's an RB2 at best.
I know obviously that the draft price of both of these players is going to plummet after this move, and rightfully so. I can't imagine really wanting either one on my roster going into 2021, unless it was, you know, a late round pick, because you don't know how this is going to break down. I think it's full committee here. I think you're going to end up seeing 50-50. It's as gross as it gets.
40-40, because Jalen Richard needs to get his.
That's right. They will not take him off field. And they've lost 3/5 of their starting offensive line.
Josh Jacobs or Raheem Mostert?
Raheem Mostert.
Josh Jacobs or Ronald Jones?
Got to see what pans out there, but if Lenny is gone.
Ronald Jones.
I'll go Ronald Jones.
I'm going to see. David Johnson. In Houston with the he's got Mark Ingram in,
and Philip Lindsay.
And Philip Lindsay. David Johnson or Josh Jacobs.
I think that's where we go, Josh Jacobs.
I mean, I know they like to run the football, and you're gonna have your burst game from Jacobs, but what a disappointing outcome here.
Yes.
Ew.
It's so Jason's the point of the offensive line. What are you doing?
They did just lock up a center of the future.
Oh,
they
did
let
they?
Hudson go, and they just signed their center of the future to a 3-year deal today.
Okay. No, for the record, is he an all pro like Hudson was? Or?
Not yet.
Okay, so the future is not bright, but he is the center of the future. Got it.
Well, you need one when you've got your center of the past is departed.
That's fair.
Any other thoughts on the Jacobs Drake head shaker?
Yes. Ew.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Chris Carson re-signed, another re-signing.
Here we go. But this is a re-signing. Good. But this is fantastic. I mean,
3 years, $24 million, voidable third year.
Which, number one, congratulations, Chris Carson. I mean, he was a seventh round pick. So this dude has been doing everything, having all this success in the NFL, which, you know, the probability was against him. And he has not made money doing it. Just, you know, destroying his body. So good for you, Chris Carson, getting that bag. And he's going to be the dude. You know, like that brief window of maybe Chris Carson moves on. Maybe it's Rashad Penny.
A penny for your thoughts.
Yeah,
Mike.
Perhaps there is a redemption story for Rashad Penny. There will not be. It will be all Chris Carson. Seattle will not be letting Russ cook. They will be giving the ball to Chris Carson over and over and over.
So is he going to be one of the more undervalued running backs again?
Usually he is, yeah. I think it'll happen again this season. With Carlos Hyde leaving, and I do expect Rashad Penny to be more and more involved. He's past his injury. But even still, with Carlos Hyde gone, you expect an increase in workload for Chris Carson, who is an excellent running back. He can catch the ball well. He could do everything. So I think Chris Carson will be a draft day value for sure next year.
Sure seems like Pete Carroll has dug in on wanting to get back to what they do best, which is run the football. Makes me wonder if there's another running back on the way to Seattle at some point this offseason.
That would suck. Don't do it.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Right now they've got Alex Collins and...
Oh, that's right. They did add Alex Collins earlier this offseason.
Right, so Alex Collins and Rashad Penny. It makes it, because I agree with you, Andy. It's like, oh, yeah, maybe they add someone. But at least
Collins
with those two guys...
Done.
Man, it's tempting to just go, let's go right into the season with these three.
I think so. No, I forgot about Collins. They like Collins.
I would love Chris Carson in this situation.
All right. The Texans signed Philip Lindsay to a one-year deal.
Which, good. Another guy. Good for you, Philip Lindsay.
More than his RFA tender, which I didn't bring up on the last show because I was thinking maybe they just cut him. He ends up getting $3 million for a one-year deal. Tough to be a running back.
Yeah.
Goes to Houston.
Cully. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. No one knows what's going on. Is Philip Lindsay the number two running back?
Houston feels like a team that is just, they're adding everyone they can at a very like lower level of talent, and it seems like they're going to put them in the sifter. And whoever, they'll just cut whoever they don't want.
This is the Taco Bell menu. They're trying to get it done, but you can go to Taco Bell and you can pay up. You can get a cheesy gordita crunch, and you know it's going to get the job done. But then you're paying like $4 for something at Taco Bell, and you're like, well, hold on, I can get
47 other items.
I get 47 tacos for $3, and that's going to be way better, except it's not going to work because you're just going to feel bad and have diarrhea.
Was Will Fuller the cheesy gordita crunch in this analogy?
Yeah, he was, and okay. He's gone now.
So, they've signed so many of these, like, middling wideouts and running backs and pieces to their offense and defense that I feel like they're going to cut half of them before the season.
Yes, they will.
Dante Moncrief.
What? Moncrief is there?
Oh, everybody.
I feel like there must be this underground, like, almost out of the league wide receiver, like, group. And they're all on Facebook, and they're like, dude, guys, go to Houston. Right now.
The Texans are giving out contracts to all of us. Yeah, Cully the Collector. As we've been calling him around here. I do think Philip Lindsay is the two. I thought when Mark Ingram signed, this is a locker room signing. Cully was with him in the Ravens. He knows he's a leader in the...
He is the ultimate hype man. If you remember those interviews with him with Lamar, he's fabulous.
So I think it will go David Johnson, Philip Lindsay, Mark Ingram. But Mark Ingram is not going to get zero carries. So this is really a backfield probably to be avoided.
Randall Cobb, Dante Moncrief, Andre Roberts.
Oh, my goodness.
Brandon Cooks leading up this crew.
Top 15 wide receiver.
QT's
Brandon Cooks.
Still there, right? Kiki QT.
Goodness gracious.
Chad Hansen.
Mm-bop.
My goodness, yeah. Mike Boone signed to the Broncos to, I guess, be a depth piece. This is actually Lindsay leaving. Don't forget Melvin Gordon. I mean, his legal situation was dropped.
Yep.
I don't expect there to be penalties from the league in any regard.
It shouldn't be.
And Melvin Gordon is going to come in there and have an opportunity to be a high-volume probably more valuable than we think back.
Yeah, I was kicking the tires on some Dynasty Melvin Gordon trade value because he's a guy that I don't think...
People want to get rid of him.
Yeah, people want to get rid of him, but I do worry that they're not going to be done here. They will bring someone else and draft a running back of the future. So I'm holding out until after the NFL draft.
All right. The Chargers signed Jared Cook.
We had a...
That's good.
That's actually a great signing for both Jared Cook and for the Chargers. You lose Hunter Henry, and he is as good a replacement as was out there on the market for a pass-catching tight end. We're not gonna play a game, you know. But we had one kind of prepared.
A little
mini game between Jared Cook and Mark Andrews.
Okay.
What? In the last 3 years, both guys have played 45 games, and both guys have had the exact same amount of games played, the exact same amount of yardage, 2,105.
Really?
More targets to Mark Andrews, more touchdowns to Jared Cook, and they both have 12 top 5 weeks at tight end over that stretch. So Jared Cook is a good player.
Interesting.
And that was the conclusion of the game?
That was the conclusion.
He didn't say anything about Mark Andrews in a negative sense? Or
no, I decided to not make it a big official game because it does include Mark Andrews' rookie year.
Yeah, I think the reason people are more interested in Andrews is what good season. Like, Cook's not on the way up.
Right, no, clearly he's not.
They're crossing on their...
But you know. It's possible that Justin Herbert is on the way up.
No, it's a good signing. It makes perfect... It gives Jared Cook potential. All right, Gerald Everett, 1 year deal with the Seahawks.
Yeah, it is interesting. Of the places that Gerald Everett could have gone, I mean, you don't have. Is it Will Disley? Is Big Montana still the starting tight end? I don't know. That remains to be seen.
We can only hope, Mike.
Well, you can't, because Gerald Everett's been sitting on my dynasty squad for feels like 2,000 years now. And the new OC from the Rams has experience with Gerald Everett, likes him. So let's see if he can turn into the number three option for the team.
Oh, he'll be more than the number three option. I think Gerald Everett could easily turn into the number one option when it comes to the passing game, because Disley didn't look...
No, I'm talking overall.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, I think he will be.
I thought you were throwing...
Oh, you locked in DK Metcalf.
Gerald Everett set to take over the world.
No, I thought you were putting him behind Greg Olsen and Big Montana.
No.
Well, Will Disley, I think, will, because of familiarity, will stay number one on the depth chart and a year removed from the injury. But I think Everett's in perfect position to disappoint people again, just like he always did.
This is great for Tyler Higbee, though. That's a name entering the offseason that I was excited about. We've seen, you know, we had all the debate last year. Is it Higbee? Is it Everett? Uh-huh. And the conclusion that Andy and I came to was that this was about Everett being gone. And if you look at those splits when Higbee was good, when they were both on the field, Higbee was not great. But I promise that Higbee and Everett are not on the field at the same time this year. So that's great news for Tyler.
Well,
Higbee.
Twice a year they will be, Jason.
Not at the same time.
Well, they'll like when they're running on and off the field.
Technically, for a moment, a brief moment.
Yeah.
I think one of them.
Yeah, you were super wrong on that one, Jay. Dan Arnold, 2 year, $6 million contract to go to Carolina. Uh-huh. He will have an opportunity. I mean,
he will. Ian Thomas was out there running routes all the time.
Just running around doing nothing. Just running. Just Ian Thomas did less than nothing.
You want to know
that
who's going to make Dan Arnold look good? It's Ian Thomas.
Yeah, that's true. Mitchell Trubisky signed a backup deal with the Bills.
Barely. Do you know how big that contract was?
Was it $2.5 million?
$2.5 million.
That just feels like the market could have been larger.
Now,
for
what
him.
Did Jacoby Brissett get?
Take
it's
a
like
look.
10. What did Tyrod get?
That's
like
a third string deal.
Yeah, I mean it's like that had to be all that was out there
from number two draft pick overall
traded up for.
The Bears fans don't need to hear this.
Okay, I'm sorry,
but
Chicago.
It's it's all factual. It's all true.
That is a whoopsie daisy.
I mean, Mitchell Trubisky signed a bottom of the basement deal on a team where you will guaranteed have no opportunity.
Correct.
Like, there's not a wor- like, what's the worst situation you can have? Like, behind Mahomes or behind Josh Allen? Or, I mean, I just, it's bad.
He's really into winter sports.
Maybe. I mean, Mitch is.
Loves snowboarding.
Jacob Hollister signed by the Bills to play tight end, whatever. Breshad Perriman back or on the Lions now, formerly of the Jets.
I mean, he's going to start.
Yeah, I mean, I added Tyrell Williams in a dynasty league this week.
He was on the waiver wire.
You bet he was.
Oh, that's a really good ad.
Because I'm like, I don't. It feels like John Brown in Las Vegas, where it's like you might as well add if they're sitting out there.
100%. You should like Perriman and Tyrell that are going to start.
Tyrell Williams and Breshad Perriman are like the poorest man versions you could possibly get of Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. It's like, I mean, that they're like the same kind of comps.
You think they gave
him
the two lockers?
Yeah, I hope so.
They're like, come on, guys.
You could step right in. I know it.
Hey, DeSean Jackson, 1 year deal with the Rams and Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
That's somehow all you said was okay, and that was still a little too optimistic for me.
I'm not optimistic for fantasy. I'm just.
It's good for the team if he can play.
Yes, that's the big if, and it's the NFL is better when DeSean Jackson is playing.
Josh Reynolds, former Ram, now a Titan.
This one is actually interesting to me. This is a name.
Hey, guess what? 1 year deal.
Sure. I mean, so many of them are this year, but this is a situation where he's going in replacement of Corey Davis. And when I look at Josh Reynolds, I said he's a solid NFL wide receiver. He's nothing spectacular, but he is not a bad wide receiver. And when you look at Corey Davis, you go, okay, maybe he's a little bit better than solid NFL receiver. Maybe he's a good NFL receiver. But the gap between Corey Davis and Josh Reynolds is not that large. And so you're inheriting a spot here where there are targets and touchdowns and yards to be had. So Josh Reynolds, I don't know that he's on dynasty waivers or not. Probably not. But he's a name that, you know, at the very end of drafts or in best ball leagues or in dynasty, at least check the waivers because he will be relevant for fantasy next year.
Could be. Who are some big names still left out there before I get into mailbag?
That we haven't talked about or they haven't
We
signed.
Said Fournette, Connor, Lev Bell, Mike Davis. Those are the running backs. James White's still out there. Gurley. Oh man. How quick was that fall?
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, Antonio Brown. T.Y. Hilton, we said earlier, is still out there. I'm trying to remember any other big names we're waiting on.
I think that's really
Sammy Watkins is still out there. Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald still unsigned. Golden Tate. So, D.D. Westbrook, Mike, how do you feel about that? D.D. Westbrook back to Chicago?
Mm.
Or to Chicago to be with Nick Foles?
Mm. Yeah.
Your sweetie? Mm. No more big tight ends available, are there? Jordan Reed?
Jake Butt.
Okay, so no.
Correct.
All right, let's do a little bit of mailbag before we close this thing out.
Mailbag.
Mailbag! If you have a question, go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Don't just go there. Click the submit a question button and you can send us your question. You can also dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. Instagram question from jpatton33 says, where do you see Julio Jones falling to in drafts this year?
That's a really, really good question. I think he will end up probably in the third round because he will go.
No. No, really?
Back of the second, top of the third is where I think he'll land. He's going to be firmly supplanted by Calvin Ridley.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is he going to go ahead of or behind Ridley in every draft?
I believe so. You know, is that the vast majority?
Could that be a really sad thing for a Ridley?
Manager. Yes, that could be a trap. Absolutely. I was going to say middle of the second round for Julio.
I think when push comes to shove, do you think he goes ahead of Keenan Allen?
I would take Julio over Keenan.
He'll be right around there.
Michael Thomas? I know Michael Thomas is going to go further down than we think because of the situation.
That is an excellent question. And right now, I think I would take Julio.
Okay. So you're Hopeful.
It's definitely a riskier pick.
I'm looking at some super early ADP. Obviously, this is very, very early, but it has
early in the morning. Only early in the morning.
It has Julio going on average at 306 behind Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, and Keenan Allen ahead of him.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of Julio excitement. I wonder if it'll change, though.
I'm excited to draft Julio in the third round.
I would love to grab. I mean, that's running back Julio. I'll start my draft that way every time.
I still got Matt Ryan. Still throwing the ball a ton. All right, here's a website question from Colton in Alexandria. Adam Thielen or Terry McLaurin in a PPR? Mike, I know the other day we talked about McLaurin. You said he's firmly a top 25 wide receiver. How do you see this right now? This is a tough one.
It is a tough one. Oh, I'm going to take Terry.
I think I'll take Terry. Jason?
I'm going to stay on the Adam Thielen side. I definitely think it's close. And if you're talking about who's going to have the best year possible if both hit, I think it would probably be Terry McLaurin, because you're coming into, you know, year three where maybe he takes a step forward. He's finally got a quarterback that can, you know, the upside is there. Whereas I think with Thielen, his best seasons are now behind him, but he's just been so rock solid for fantasy for so long. I didn't see anything on film that made me doubt him. His situation, his quarterback is better. So I'll stick with Thielen this year.
Probably going to find ourselves getting beat by a lot of teams that have Adam Thielen and Julio Jones at wide receiver one and two on their team. All right, we want to thank Pristine Auction for supporting today's show. Let me tell you about a few of the auctions they have up there, hundreds every day. CeeDee Lamb, signed NFL official game ball. Current price, $20. Ends on Wednesday. Kirk Cousins, signed full-size authentic on-field helmet, sitting at $50 right now. That's a full-size helmet. Ends on Wednesday. Our friends at Pristine Auction have hundreds of daily sports memorabilia auctions. You've got to check them out. And when you do, use the code BALLERS. And you get a $10 credit towards your first purchase at PristineAuction.com. That's it, boys. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Appreciate all of the support, your reviews. They mean a lot. And we'll be back with a new episode very soon.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.